Fast today on this last Sunday in September. We wrap up our study of this letter that James, brother of Jesus, wrote to his fellow Jewish believers. Hear now these words. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you're counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay, the cries of those who harvest your fields that reach the ears of the Lord of the heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves on the day of slaughter. You have condemned the righteous one who did not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmer who patiently waits for the rain in the fall and the spring. They eagerly look for the favorable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters. You'll be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so we do not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so, Brother James, he's wrapping up his letter. And he just has a whole wide range of topics that are still relevant today. First, he does a warning against the rich. And he says, look, your wealth is drawing away. Your fine clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. Well, what does Jesus, his brother, say about where we store our treasure, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, right? Don't store your treasures here on earth where moths can eat it and your gold and silver can rust away. We forget sometimes that these earthly goods are just that, the material. They will fall apart, dissolve eventually. I remember a situation up in Nashville back in the 70s. A famous country singer by the name of String Bean. He was on the TV show Hee Haw, very popular comedian. And String Bean, though, was not very wise when it came to money. He walked around Nashville in bib overalls and kept cash inside his pocket. And his friend and neighbor, Grandpa Jones, and now, Grandpa Jones, I do remember as a kid, he was still alive at that point, So I'm like, you need to put that money in the bank. This is not a good idea. And then there was a terrible announcement one day that String Bean and his wife had been killed. And the Nashville police investigation, and they found out who it was, but locked him up. And they admitted they were trying to get his money, but didn't find any. And then years and years and years later, a couple had bought the house, and they had, it was like a little cabin, and had a fire going. And then they noticed that something was falling into the fire. So they put the fire out and checked it out, and inside the chimney, they found all these rotten $100 bills where they had hidden away. And of course, at that point, the mice and moths had eaten a lot of it. That's how it is with wealth. It can be destroyed. You know, we don't need to make gold and silver our wealth. If you show up at heaven with a bag full of gold, St. Peter's going to look at you and say, well, that's nice, but we got plenty of asphalt, right? That's not should be our treasure. And then James goes on about people who are cheating out the workers. He says, you haven't paid them. And he talks about how you have spent your days in luxury. And he says, and you have killed and condemned the righteous one. And what he's referring to is, he's referring to the high priests in that priestly class. These are people who are getting very wealthy off the tithes of people. And you may recall how Jesus condemned them, says, you know, how you cheat and rob widows. And here they are, the ones who killed Jesus. Now, James looked at them and says, I know you got this little religious racket scheme going up and collecting all this money, you know, but the day of judgment is coming even for the high priest. And then he turns and talks to us and says, brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Now, I'm sure all of us mirrors, sometimes as a kid, we get left at home by ourselves. And every once in a while, I'm like, I wonder if mom's going to come back or dad's going to come back. And we get nervous. And we kind of pance around the floor. Well, then they come in, they're all happy. They had a good time while they were away from us, you know. And like, everything okay? Yeah, I just got worried, you know. Well, no, we're fine, honey, you know. And then James gives an example of the farmer. The farmer patiently waits for rains in the fall and the spring. Okay? And this is no Israeli farming. And they look forward to the harvest of ripen. Now, here in McMinn County, we plant crops in the spring. But the farmer has to be patient until the fall for the harvest, doesn't he? It's a long wait. And guess what? The farmer has to get busy. He has to plow the fields, fertilize the fields, weed the fields. He has to do all that. He has to make sure the fence is a good fence, keep the deer out of it. There's work to be done. And my friends, that's what we're doing right now. As we wait for Jesus to come back, we got work to done. Dude, the harvest is coming. We got to get busy. And it says, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, as Christians, we should not be living in fear. We of all people should be courageous. Why? The Lord is coming. So when we turn on the news and we hear all this tragedy here in McMinn County or in Afghanistan, we don't get discouraged. We know the Lord is coming. And then he says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Now remember, Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, judge not, lest thou should be judged. And he says, for look, the judge is standing at the door. Now think about in the old Western movies, right? When the judge showed up, the marshal showed up, it's time to have a court date. Justice will be served. When Jesus shows up, he'll bring justice to our planet. Yeah. That's why we need to make sure we've been doing the right thing, repenting. No, we don't want to be on the side of the judgment of being judged. We want to be on the side of being already been forgiven. And then he says, for examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, remember what Jesus says, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes? Blessed are you when men persecute you, revile you, and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Why? For great is the reward in heaven, as it was for the prophets persecuted before you. Even the Hebrew prophets, talking to the Hebrew people, had a hard time. Now, look at the prophets and how many of them were mistreated, prosecuted, persecuted, executed for the name of the Lord. Look how many people around the world today who are Christians. We come together and we got on Facebook and Instagram and got a big old sign outside. We got Christians around the world doing this in secret because they will be prosecuted, persecuted, and executed. He said, we give great honor to those who suffer under, endure under suffering. And then he gives the example of Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. And I'm sure you remember Job. We talked about the patience of Job, and Job got actually impatient in the process. But think about Job. And one day, he took three financial hits. Boom, boom, boom. And that'd be tough on anyone. But then came the heartbreaker in my book. Job, a hurricane, or a tornado in our language, landed. Hit the house of one of your kids. And Job thought, oh Lord, whose house was it? Job, that's what I want to tell you. All your kids were in that house at the same time having the party. They all died. You know, that's a heartbreaker. You can always go out and get more stuff. You file bankruptcy and you go out and get you more money. But to lose your family like that, that was a heartbreaker. And then, of course, remember, Satan came back for round two, and then Job was afflicted with boils and became very ill and very sick. And he was in that situation where he wasn't dead, but he felt like he was dead. And then his three friends showed up, and then they started blessing him out. Job had a rough time of it. But at the end of the story, it talks about how and Job prayed for his friends, and God turned the captivity of Job around. God began blessing him. Job was on his way down to the grave. But because of his faith in God, God turned the situation around for him. James says, you can see how the Lord was kind to him in the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. And then James says, but most of all, brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no that your sin will not sin and be condemned. Again, where have we heard this before? The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gave a very long segment about when you swear, don't swear by heaven, for that is the heaven territory of God. Don't swear by the earth is God's footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Jesus said, let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. Now, here in the South, you know, what do we do? We say, I swear by a sack of King James Bibles. I swear by my grandma's grave. You know, no, don't be doing that. Just say yes or no and tell the truth. Let your yes be a yes and let your no be a no, and don't do all that crazy swearing stuff. And then I really want to hammer on this part because I feel like this has been very important to us this past year. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Now, we have some sad news this morning, and we were feeling a little down now, so we prayed about it. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Now, in our bulletin, we have songs of praise to Jesus for his wonderful power, power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? We're rejoicing. Give God the praise. And then listen to this. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Hallelujah. And I remember a few, well, I guess about a year ago now, really, we were having a meeting in my hometown church there in Athens, and one of the pastors were talking about how one of the issues he faced was that sometimes people were in the hospital and he didn't know about it. And then folks would get on his case, you know, about how can you visit so-and-so? and they were talking about, I don't know how to fix that. I pulled out that scripture on my phone and took a screenshot and sent it to the youth director. And he looked at it and kind of smiled and winked at me a little bit. Because notice what it says. Are you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come. In other words, when you're down out and you're sick and you're going to be in the hospital for a few days, and this applies to all Christians everywhere, don't wait for the gossip line to get back to the pastor. Don't hesitate to say, can you send the pastor a message or a text or email to him know where I'm at? And one thing I learned through my recent classes was, if I go to the hospital, I need to know your full name, okay? Everybody calls you Bubba, I can't show up and say, I need to see Bubba, right? They won't let me in. I got to know who you are specifically, okay? So the elders of the church come in. All right, what do the elders do? They pray over you. Now, we talk about prayer sometimes like, all I can do is pray for you. Hold on a second. Prayer is you talk to the creator of heaven and earth. That's one of the best things you can do for someone. And then it says, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? And so for this morning, as a visual, got my mask for the conference this afternoon. Okay? Now from distance, they might look like batteries. But what these are small vials of oil. It is a quarter ounce. I got this from the website, christianbook.com. That's where I got the communion supplies. And I ordered this and my little communion set and some communion supplies all at the same time. Okay? Remember, in biblical times, oil was a symbol of God's presence. Remember how the Good Samaritan used oil to help bandage up the wounds of the wounded man. And then that psalm we all love, Psalms 23, thou anointest my head with oil. Okay? And so most likely in the hospital situation, what I would do is, I would ask you do you want me to anoint you with oil? And if you said no, I wouldn't do it. All right? But if you were game for it, I'd probably make the sign of the cross. And then it says, such a prayer offered in faith. Now, there's a key word. Offer in faith. So don't call somebody who's going to pray over you and doesn't believe the Bible. It won't work. Don't call somebody down in Thomas let's just get this over with. That won't work. You need somebody who's going to pray over you who has faith that God still heals. We got folks in the Christian church today believe that God retired from healing. They think all that ended 2,000 years ago. And folks like me thinks God's still in the healing business. If you're still getting sick, God still heal you, okay? If it's his will. It says, such a prayer offering faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. The King James Version knows this, and the Lord will raise them up. Now, I know you may have seen or heard of preachers who may go in the hospital room and they start yelling and screaming, carrying on. No. All you're doing is you're not raising them up. You're just raising their blood pressure. You're making them feel worse. All the elders do is they pray for you. They don't heal you. Who does the healing? The Lord will make you well. Okay? So when you see on TV and someone talks about a faith healer, you can forget that. A person can pray over you in faith, but they don't heal you. The healing is a gift from God, and he decides whom he heals and whom he doesn't. I don't know how he decides that, but he does. Okay? And I'm definitely one of those folks who believe that we do use the doctor. I believe, the God does the healing and the doctor gets the money. Okay? So don't hesitate to go to your doctor when you're sick and ask for help. But also don't hesitate if you're sick to ask for the elder, myself, and I'll come and I'll pray over you, okay? And then verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. You see, there is a connection between sin and healing. And don't misconstrue this, say that everyone who's sick is because they sin. We know that's not true because it's Job. But if there is sin in your life, that will be a a roadblock to your healing. And for example, I think about when Jesus was preaching and he was in someone's house preaching and he's like, what's this? You know, and somebody was messing the roof and here came all the sawdust on top of Jesus. And what happened? Well, these four guys had the buddy who couldn't walk. They couldn't get inside the building, so they got on top of the roof, tore the roof off, and dropped their buddy down in front of Jesus, which I'm sure the homeowner just loved to see that happen. No? And what did Jesus do? He dealt with the sin problem. He said, your sins are forgiven. And of course, religious leaders were like, oh, who is he to forgive sins? No. And Jesus said, well, which one's easier to say, if your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Well, obviously, either one's easy to say, but you can't see one versus the other. So after Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, he turns to the man and says, rise and walk. And guess what? He rose and he walked. And we're not to be in the audience when there's Jesus and all that sawdust on him. There's his four buddies looking down from the roof, and here's this man walking, jumping, praising the Lord. Now, wouldn't that have been something to see? So it's important that part of our healing is that we get spiritual healing first, and then we get the physical healing. Okay. Now, I'll give you a little behind the scenes here. When I left Keith, they commissioned me. They actually commissioned me three times for three services, okay? Scotty Mayfield asked me, said, how many times you want to get commissioned before you leave? And I said, three times, Scotty, for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, in this little book, for the Methodist Church, there are prayers for healing, okay? And so, for example, you're in the hospital, you're sick, and you're going to be there for a few days, you know. I get off work. I come pay you a visit. I would ask you, do you want me to anoint you with the oil? And I ask you, no, can I pray for you? And if you said no and no, I say, okay, I'll leave. I'll still pray for you. I wouldn't do it in your hotel room or hospital room, but I'll still pray for you, okay? That's a given, you know. But I don't want to do anything to make anyone uncomfortable in the hospital. But this prayer book, though, has prayers on occasions, okay? And part is prayers for healing. And then he says, a righteous person, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Think about that. If you're a righteous person and you pray earnestly, there is great power and it produces results. You don't have to have a collar around your neck or a big old cross around your name or the reverend on your name. If you're a righteous person, God will hear your prayers and produce results. And then he gives an example. He said, Elijah was just as human as we are. You know, we put the prophets on the pedestal. But remember Elijah, he got so down now, he got depressed. What's the matter, Elijah? No one, I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only prophet. No, you're not. You're hungry and you're tired. Eat and sleep, right? He was human. But yet when Elijah prayed, heaven shut off, no rain for 3.5 years. But then he got down and he prayed again. The rains fell and the crops came back. And then here's another promise. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. You know, we have a lot of folks who grew up in the church, were part of the church, and they left the church and didn't come back. But James says that if you help bring that person back, maybe you just love and pray for them, and they come back, you save that person from death, and you brought about the forgiveness of many sins. Someone says, it's too long gone. No, it's never too long gone. There's always a chance. They might have been gone for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. They might have been gone for 30 years. Got mad about something happened back in the 70s and left. But James says, when you bring a person back like that, you brought them back from death, and you're helping bring back the forgiveness of sins. And so this morning, for the closing thoughts, I want to read to you one of the prayers out of this book. Okay. And as I read this prayer, it may be that someone comes to your mind who needs some healing. Okay. Maybe the prayer is for you, okay? And while you may not pray these word for word for me as I read this off, I want you to hear the words and keep those in your heart and mind. You know? And may they be a comfort to you. And so this morning, I want to say this prayer for any of you in this building who have been struggling with some illnesses and such. I want to send to your family members who are facing surgery. For those of you in the parking lot and maybe listening online at a later date, you know, this prayer is for you. Okay, and while I can't do all this, in person here with everyone, the prayer still applies. And so it starts off the name, and I say, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I call them by name, and I say, I lay my hands on you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the power of God's indwelling presence heal you of all illnesses of body, mind, spirit, relationship, that you may serve God with a loving heart. Amen. And then the prayer continues with, Almighty God, we pray that these brothers and sisters may be comforted in their suffering and made whole. When they are afraid, give them courage. When they are weak, grant them your strength. When they are afflicted, afford them your patience. When they are lost, offer them hope. When they are alone, move us to their side. If death comes, open your hearts to receive them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. That's a very powerful prayer. And that'd be a prayer I would be willing to pray with anyone, whether at church or their home or the hospital. And so I'm going to close with that. And Herb, we'll do our last song, please.